to us. And just like Roger said, it's not just one person, it's not this building, but it's everybody here. You've all done something to make this church special for me. And I know that, you know, from the singing to the preaching to the praying, we can feel your prayers all about us. And that makes it easy. Singers can testify, and Brother Roger can testify. Well, you can feel the prayers of the church when you're doing what God wants you to do, and you can just feel the Spirit just freely moving, and it's a great thing. I'll tell you what, we love this church more and more each service we're here, and want to thank you. And like Brother Roger said, we don't want to go, and I don't want you guys to go home without knowing that we love you and our family loves you dearly, and you mean a lot to us. If you would, God put a thought on our heart. We were studying something totally different. We were talking to Roger about it this morning, and then God took us a whole different way. And actually, it was a Sunday school lesson, and that kind of brought it out to us. And if you'll go over to Genesis, the 8th chapter, we're going to read the 10th and 11th chapter. And then go ahead and mark Luke, the 3rd chapter. And we're going to go over there. And it'll be the, we'll read the 22nd verse there. And I know a lot of you are thinking, going to Old Testament, New Testament, where could this be going? And God gave me a thought this morning through Sunday school. And it's amazing how God works, and he uses things to show us what he really means. Sometimes we overlook it and we don't see it, but God has a reason for all things. We may not see it, we may not understand, but there's a reason for all things. Things that happen in our life, sometimes we do not understand until later on in life, and then we can see why that had to happen. And when we read in here, you'll see a mention of I usually don't title, but if I could title the dove and what the dove meant. You know, there's a lot of thought in what the dove means. You know, you look up in the dictionary, it means freedom, joy, peace, and messenger. In the Holy Spirit, and biblically, it means the Holy Spirit. So, we'll read these, if you'll stand with us, Genesis, the 8th chapter, the 10th and 11th verse, and then we'll flip right over to Luke, and then maybe if God will give us something, we'll preach. If not, we'll just testify and sit down and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And it says, and he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off, so Noah knew that the waters were abounded from off the earth. And if you would turn over to Luke, the 3rd chapter and the 22nd verse. And it says, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. You may be seated. And just a thought while the Sunday school teacher was teaching, just a couple thoughts that were going through my mind is back in Genesis, when you read of the dove, when he sent the dove out, it was a sign to find out when it would be over, when it was all going to be done, when the new world was coming, when all these old things were passed away and the new began. That's what Noah was looking for, was a change. That old way was gone. All those things were done with. The new earth was here. And it was a new way, a new time. It was all new at that. And the dove was the sign to show something white, something pure, to come back. Because he also, if you read, he sent out a raven also, but you never hear no more about the raven. But the dove came back with a little offering and a message to say, hey, it's good out here. There's land ahead. And then when you read in Luke, that's when John was baptizing Jesus, and right before he baptized him, the dove came down, the Spirit came down as a dove, and God spoke to him and said, this is my Son. Meaning that there was a new way of coming, there was a new earth to be set, there was a new place for us to go to. We're not there yet, but there's a way. We're coming to that time where there's a new way being made. And that's what that whole the dove meant at that time was, hey, there's a new way coming. There's a whole new place for us. Just hold on. There's a whole new way. There's a good joy coming. That Jesus was going to walk this earth. He was going to testify. He was going to do what had to be done so that there would be a way created so we could go to heaven. Amen. That's the new earth. That's the new place that we're going. That's the way. Because before, you and I had no chance. You and I had no way. Because I don't know about you, but I wasn't born a Jew. And I wasn't born in the way. But God came, sent His Son, so I could have a way and I could be there and go to heaven. That's what God was showing us. That there was a new way coming. That there was a new land being built for us. That old way was no more. It didn't work no more. That's what happened in Genesis. That old way didn't work no more. Noah and his sons were the only one that followed the way. Everyone else strayed far from it. They were people of their own. They were worried about themselves. Noah spent all his time preaching and testifying, telling there was a flood coming. There was a flood coming. This world is going to be destroyed. Get ready. Get ready. This world's going to go away. And they all didn't listen. So Jesus came. God sent his son to say, get ready. There's coming a way. It's going to destroy this earth once again. But this time, there's not going to be anything left here. There's nothing to look for here. I'm going to go away. I'm going to prepare a place for you to come to. And if you don't accept, hell will be your home. Those people are in hell. They flooded the earth. They drowned on this earth. And then they went to hell. But I'm telling you today, there's no flood of water coming again. Amen. It's a flood of hellfire that's going to rain down on this earth, and you will burn, and you will burn, and you will never burn up. Yes. But God came, sent His Son, so we could have a place to go to and escape that awful torture, that awful place. Because before then, we had no way. And the Holy Spirit moves into service and walks through still to this day, just like the dove, and moves around and finds the one in our need. And it sets and says, hey, listen. And God talks to us and said, get right or you're going to that place. And I'm glad that one day that Holy Spirit walked through and came and found me right in that service and made a way that I could go to heaven. I'm so thankful tonight that the Holy Spirit is still moving. I'll tell you, today, more than ever, we need it. I've heard preachers preach it. I heard Clarence preach it. I've heard my dad preach it. I've heard Roger preach it. I've heard all the preachers all of my life preach that today we're closer than ever. Amen. And today is the day. I'm telling you what, today is not only the day, but this is the hour. This is the moment. If God's dealing in your life, this is the time. Because we're not promised tomorrow. We were talking about this earlier this week, that all the saints of old, that seems like anymore, it's one right after another. I think God's preparing a way, letting us know, hey, we're getting close. It's getting time. It's getting time. Get prepared. Get ready. But yet we all sit idle and say, oh, they've been saying it for years. They've been saying it for a long time. But guess what? Today is the day. We don't have tomorrow. We don't have the next day. Today is the day. That's what Jesus came to say. Don't play around. Don't wonder. Don't matter who you are, what you are. I came to create the way. I am so glad that that way was made. Because guess what? If it wasn't for grace and God's love and Him sending His Son, there's no way I could make it. There's no way none of us could make it. Because guess what? In that time, even the Jews couldn't make it. Because they were so corrupt. They were so wicked that they were all about the money. The priest wanted their money. They wanted their food. They wanted their things. They weren't worried about their people. We need to be worried about our people today more than ever. We've set back too lax and too enjoying everything that's going on. Oh, we got plenty of time. I'm telling you, today is the day. God created it more than 2,000 years ago, a way for us to make it. We've pondered and wandered, and you look around you, the world is getting more wicked. You got preachers out there preaching this and that and whatever else just to line their own pockets. You got too many preachers out there that are so happy to stand up as long as they get a paycheck when they sit down. I'm glad we have a preacher. Brother Roger means the world to me, that would come up here and say, hey, it's not me, it's you. And it takes a big man to say that it's not me. Because guess what? What we do is nothing compared to what you're doing in your seats. Because guess what? Like I said, if you're not praying and you're not ready, I can't do anything. If you're not ready, you're not set, the Holy Spirit can't move. Because guess what? It'll start here, and it'll hit that person that don't want to move, and it'll just kill it right there. But guess what? If we're all here in the right mind and one accord, the Holy Spirit will come down and he'll say, these are my children who I am well pleased, and blessings will be poured out upon us. Because guess what? After that, John was well blessed. He got to do something that we'll none ever get to do. One day I'll sit at his feet and I'll praise him for everything I've done. But not once have I got to baptize him and say, what a great honor that is. John was blessed because he worked when all were done. They didn't want to hear the way. They didn't want to hear it no more. They wanted to worry about, like I said, they were worried about getting their money and getting their food. And he came out of the wilderness looking like a crazy man. Most people didn't understand what he was doing. But guess what? He had a following. And what they got to see that day was a great honor. I'm telling you what, the dove has meant a lot of things, but I think in my mind, the dove means a hope for a whole new world, a whole new peace, a whole new joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. What a grace message was preached that day. This is my son in whom I'm pleased. He knew that work was getting ready to be done. Before this, you don't read much. Yeah, Jesus did a few miracles here and there. But not much was said about Jesus before that. But after that, he really started working. He got his disciples. He started ministering. You hear miracle after miracle. He was working. He was ready to work and move. But yet we get baptized and we get ready and God gives us the Holy Spirit and we sit here idle. And we just sit on him and say, well, I've got mine. I've got mine. I'm good. God's got so much in store for us. If we would just heed his word and follow the Holy Spirit. God's here to bless us. He blessed us this morning. He's here to bless us tonight. He's here to bless us tomorrow and the next day. I'll say it again and again. We wait Sunday morning and Sunday night, and we wait for Wednesday. But God's ready to bless us every day. I don't read in my Bible that there wasn't a day that Jesus didn't do a miracle. God was blessing day in and day out through his son. And then it got to a point where they said, hey, whoa, whoa, hold on. You can't do it on Sunday. You can't do it. You can't undo it on that day because that's the Sabbath. Jesus was here to work. Amen. He was here to do something. Yes. And that was what the dove represented, was a new path to a whole new world. Amen. God was saying how pleased he was. Amen. The Holy Spirit moves through us, and yet we let it just pass on by. Yeah. Not today. This is not what I want. God's got so much in store for this church. Amen. I've said it. I've seen it. God's going to bless this church. Satan wouldn't be trying his best to work so hard in this church if God didn't have something good in store. There's churches out there with thousands in attendance. But guess what? Satan ain't going to deal with them because he's already got them hooked. He's already got them. He's not worried about them. Satan's worried about this church. Satan's worried about what's going to go on. There's some good work getting ready to happen. There's some good things getting ready to happen in this church. We just got to have faith that God is moving. It's not our time. It may not be next Sunday, but soon God is going to do great things for this church. And we're going to see the pews full. And we're going to see lost souls coming in and getting saved. The ones we've prayed for, they're going to be coming in. We may not see it, but it's coming. Just know that the way's already been paved. Just like when that dove landed back in the ark, he knew it was coming. He didn't know if it would be a day or two, but he knew right then, all things are good. We're 2,030 some years from then, but guess what? Tomorrow it might happen. We don't know. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But guess what? God's got something good in store for us. Amen. And I can't think of how great it's going to be when we see these pews full. And what a blessing. Let's not wait to see the pews full. Let's praise God today. Amen. Because He's working in this church. I'm so thankful that God put me in this way. There's no greater way than this way. There's no greater church, like Brother Rogers said, than this church. I've been members of many, and they have special places in my heart for different things. But guess what? This church is special, and great things are going to happen. Because we all come looking for good things. Let's just praise His holy name and say God is good. Bless Him for the praises that we know are coming. We haven't seen them, but we know they're coming. Don't be downhearted. Don't be trodden. How many prayer requests have we heard? And then a few months later, guess what? That one's fine. This one's fine. Everything's going on. God's working in this church. So let's praise His name and say, this is going to be a full church. Praise Him for a full church. Don't talk to people and say, well, we've only got a few. We've only got a few. Guess what? God's blessing this church. I'm going to say this church is going to be packed. I'm glad for it tonight. I want to lift this church up. I want you to know that I'm behind you 110%. I'm praying that God move. God move that next Sunday we'd see more lost souls coming in. I wait for a day. It's been a long time when we've seen one right after another, like popcorn, just getting up and getting saved. It's going to happen because we're getting too close. We just need to work. We need to ask our friends, ask our loved ones. We talk to people we work with. Talk to people and get them to come. They may not listen, but I think many times, and I maybe testified it before, Clarence had a testimony of a man that came and talked to him, and for years he was out of church. And that man just said, I've been praying for you. Yeah. And a few years later, it wasn't instantly that it happened, but a few years later, he met Georgia, got into church, and got blessed and got saved. Yeah. God's working. Yeah. We need to work. God's saying it's getting close. He's given us all the things that we need to know that tomorrow He could roll the sky back. So we need to work before it becomes night. Because once it becomes night, there is no more work. Roger, when night falls, our work's done. Brother Ron, Rob, all the things that we've prayed for, it's over. We can't get any more. But guess what? Today, we have. We need to go out in the highways and the hedges and pray that people come in. We'd see it happen. Well, you're saying that tomorrow's the day I don't have nothing to work for. Guess what? We could have 100 years. I don't know. I don't know. But God can extend time if we'd all get one mind and one accord. And all that are true believers will pray to buy time for these lost souls to get saved. They say there's a great falling away. Well, guess what? I think there's going to be a great revival in this land. I hope and pray that we see a great revival. My kids are young. I've seen two of them walk the aisle, and I pray to see two more. And if not, I pray that they have reached the age of accountability when God calls time to be no more. But guess what? We got some work to do. That's what Jesus was preparing for. That's what the baptism was for. He was getting in the way. He was doing what we were to do. Be baptized and get to work. Yeah. If you look, like I said, there was not much rope before the baptism. But yet, He was baptized, and guess what? The next day He was working. That's right. Us as children of God, we get baptized, and then we're just children. I can't sing. Yeah. I can't preach. I can't testify. Well, get up and just say, God saved me. Amen. Thank you. Yes. Give your testimony how God saved you. I don't care if it was last week. Amen. It's a blessing. Right. It's a work. That's what God wants in our life. We need to be working harder today than we ever have before. Because when it becomes night, there's no time for work. Right. And God's not going to be secretive. He's not going to be hidden. He said, I'm not going to be a thief in the night. If He comes tomorrow, guess what? He's give you opportunities to work and do what He has in your life. Amen. And when I studied, and I studied and bring some of that in, is Jonah. He was sent to do one thing. One thing. And guess what? He didn't do it. He got on a boat. And he endangered the life of many. Because he didn't want to go in the way. And guess what happened? He wasn't wanting to work for the Lord. But yet God used him still to do good works. So you may be here tonight and not want to do what God wants you to do. But guess what? God's still going to get the blessing. Because when they cast lot, it came down to Jonah because he was the guilty one. He was the whole reason that this was happening. And guess what? If you go back and read the first chapter of Jonah, after he was sent off the boat, it said all those men set sacrifice to God, his God, not their gods. Before that, they were sacrificing to their gods. But after that, they sacrificed to his God because they knew his God was the only God. If you're not willing to work, God said he'll have the rocks cry out for you. There's a work to be done. And if we sit idle and not praise God for filling this church tomorrow, then guess what? He'll move it on down the road. It'll be another church. He's going to find who's going to work for him. And I'm not saying that you're slacking, and I'm not saying this church isn't. But we need to be excited. We need to praise him. We need to say, God, you're doing good things. And we got so many good, more good things coming. We've been so blessed. Yes, we've had heartaches. Yes, we've had troubles. Yes, we've had sickness. Yes, we've had times when we couldn't be here. But guess what? God has been so good to us. We don't deserve to be slack in one idle. Jesus knew that his end game was to be on the cross. He knew he was going to be beaten. He knew he was going to be mocked. He was going to be ridiculed. But yet he kept pressing on. What pressure do we have to sit idle? What do we have in our life? Has anybody ever handcuffed you and spit on you or mocked you or plucked your beard or made fun of you or did all these things? But yet we sit and we don't want to work for God. We owe God everything. Everything in our life. But yet we put him on the back burner. God is too good to us. God has got so much in store for this church. And I can't wait. I want to praise you and I want to uplift you. And I pray that God let you see what we've seen. The love in this church is too great. The need is too many. But we're going to see them come. I'm glad for that day. I praise God already. Good things are coming. You've got a great pastor. You got great deacons. You got great members. Everybody here has a love for one another. But let's not forget that it's not just this church. We need to pray for those that are outside the building. I pray that one day maybe we'll open the windows and the people that are across the street can hear what's going on and they come in. I want to be the hill, the church set upon the hill. I want everybody to come here and say, what a church. Look what they try to do. They try to destroy them, but look how great they are. Look how big they are. Look how great things are. And I'm not just talking in numbers. I want to see lost souls getting saved. Amen. I don't want to see the church full just to bring up the bank account. I want to see lost souls coming in. Boy, I want to see a good old revival break out. I want to see lost souls getting saved. Like I said, I remember seeing one get up and then another and then another. That's what I want to see. What a day. What a day that'll be. Because guess what? Soon, we've already got the dove. We've already been given the olive leaf. Home is coming. Home is coming. And we've already got our reward. It's given to us. Let's share that. Just like Noah did. We can't help it if they don't want to listen. But we need to be working. And guess what? It won't go out void. God's word never goes out void. Everything you say, it doesn't matter. Just like the song says, that person went to church just for spite, but guess what? God did something. God did something. I've heard many testimonies of how people got out in the world and somebody said something. Brother Holcomb, we've heard him say many times that he lived a sinful life and he knew he was raised in church and how he came back and how good God has been to him. We all should be thankful. Maybe we weren't out in the way, but guess what? We were just as guilty. Amen. We were just as wrong. Yes. We were the worst sinners that ever lived. even though we never done nothing. Because guess what? If you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and God as your Heavenly Father, then you're the worst sinner of all.
Amen.
You might as well have murdered everybody out there because you're just as wrong.
Amen.
We all sin and come short, but yet there's grace. There is grace and more grace abundant.
Amen.
I'm thankful tonight. Thankful for what God's done for me in my life. Thankful for the little thoughts He puts in our mind every once in a while. Sometimes it helps us to ponder on those things. And sometimes you may not understand, well, God, why do I need this now? But sometime it'll mean something to you. In the wee hours and the midnight when you're all alone and you don't understand, that message will come back to you and you'll be like, wow. God knows what we need.
Amen.
Way far before we ever needed it.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that. God cares for us so much. He sent His Son for us, and yet He keeps getting us prepared for the way. You can't ever say that in your life that God didn't set a path for you to be prepared. Sometimes it seems like you haven't been prepared. But then all of a sudden, things will pop up in your mind like popcorn. God is too good for us. I'm thankful tonight. I'll have them come and get a song. And if you got something on your heart, Brother Roger, come. And if there's something that you see in your life that you want to better, here's the place. Get prepared. God's got a way for us. God's got a path. There's a whole new world.
Amen.
Where there's no pain, no sorrow. There'll be no more wickedness. He's not going to do this a third or fourth time. This is it.
Yeah.
We've got a promise of a great thing.
Yes.
If you're here tonight and you don't have that promise, come get it.
Amen.
The Spirit is so sweet.
Yes.
And it'll tell you, just come.
Amen.
Just come. And guess what? If you'll take that first step, I've said it 100 times. When I got saved, I sat in the back of Riverside Baptist Church where the youth group sat. I was in the very back on the left side of the church. I remember getting up from my seat. I remember stepping out to the aisle. And I don't remember anything else.
Amen.
I remember waking up right at the altar and a peace and a calmness that I've never had before. You don't understand? Well, I got a full life ahead of me. You might be here. I got things to do. I got so much to look forward to. I haven't missed a thing in my life. And I've got so much to look forward to. The only pain and sorrow I'll ever have is in this world. But if you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, I hate to say, this is the best that you have. I can't tell you how horrible hell can be. And this is not even the worst. Take your worst day, and it ain't even a twinkle in the day in hell.
Amen.
God's working in this church.
Yes.
Be glad. If you would stand, and as they get a song.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost and that wonderful dove. As you, while he was preaching, did you look at our mural right there to signify what they saw on that day? David talked about that dove bringing that little olive branch. I don't think it was a big twig, do you? I think it was just a small twig that he brought back. After being on that boat for a year and 17 days, finally hope of getting off into a place that God has saved us from all the wickedness. Tara, every once in a while, will sing that song. Your granddaddy used to sing that song for us, The Old Ship of Zion. One day we're going to step off on that place that we've got our hope invested in. And see, hope in the Bible has two different definitions. It's not like I hope it's going to happen. The second definition is assurance. We used to sing a song when we traveled. It said, I'm insured beyond the grave. I preached a message many years ago in my youth that talked about insurance is important. But all that does is leave it behind to your family. Does me no good whatsoever. Amen. I leave all the insurance for somebody else to enjoy. But I've got assurance. Not I-N, but A-S. Assurance. That when my life comes to an end, I've got a better place to go. Don't you tonight? I appreciate the message, David. And as he was bringing the message, I thought about the prophet of old that said, without a vision, my people perish. And something people might think that we're wishing a mist, but not when it comes to God's word. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord tonight? We appreciate David and sharing that word with us that God gave to him. I was talking about those sisters that was talking to me before church about the message this morning and how they enjoyed it and was thankful for it. And I said to them, you'll have to thank the writer. Amen. And see, folks, I realize this tonight. God can take me out, and his work will still keep going. I'm just thankful to be a vessel while I'm here that he can use along this journey. We're going to go downstairs and have fellowship, and I hope everybody can stick around with us for a few minutes of time. I'm sure that some of you got to get up in the morning and go to work. So do I. I'm sure some of you got a busy week. So do I. And, you know, we can find all kinds of things that we got to get done. But please stick around with us and have a good time of fellowship this evening.